Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Okay, thanks everyone for being here. We are living different times, and with that, I think I shouldn't spend too much time telling how difficult and different it is for everybody. You guys already know that. I usually start with what administration is doing, so I'm going to start with what I have been doing. I participated on several phone calls with a committee to work on the technology accessibility assurance standards. When the Commission for the Blind was created 20 years ago, a bill was also attached, and it was called the technology cost or clause. And what that portion of the bill intended to do was that every piece of technology, both hardware and software, should be accessible to the blind. Years went by and technology moved quicker and faster than most people imagine, not only from the ADA perspective, but from any perspective. We, the blind, knew that it needed to be accessible. We always found obstacles and blocks. And it wasn't totally accessible. And as I worked many years with different state agencies, most of the time they did have the intention to make it work, but they didn't have the tools, the directions. So I started to work with the different entities several months ago, almost a year ago. And those entities are the Department of Administrative Services, the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, the Nebraska Technology Commission, and the Office of the Chief Information Officer, OCIO, to work on updating that technology class, which is going to be now called the Technology Accessibility, Accessible Technology Assurance Standards. Chris Boone helped us to draft that. All the parties agree with the language. And we were advised to get the opinion of the Governor's Policy Research Office. And that's when we got a little stuck. They have some concerns. Some of the concerns are that if we implement this, other agencies may have to spend a lot of money to make things accessible. And we keep saying, well, no, because this is going to be forward, it's not retroactive. That's how most laws are. And they want to know that we are all agreeing, so that's why all the parties will have a meeting on August 24th to address that. I'm optimistic, but also experience shows that in government everything moves slow. And I think we have a good group in that committee. Mike Hanson is part of the committee as well. And we are going to be persistent. Experience shows that persistence defeats resistance. So that's what we are going to continue doing. And I'll give you an update on that at the next meeting or send you an email regarding that. I also participated in a couple of meetings with the WIOA Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act State Board. I'm not on the board, but I'm invited to come to those meetings. I'm also with the WIOA State Partners, which was very much to talk about the state combined plan. Talking about that, RSA did approve our portion of the state combined plan. And the news on that is that we are officially off order of selection.
All right. Good job.
Yep. And, well, first of all, we are making sure that we don't get into order of selection again. Yes. RSA also announced that they will conduct their virtual monitoring and technical assistance between August and the end of the year. August is tomorrow already, but I haven't been contacted for any scheduling yet. What we understand is that they are going to be setting some dates, and they will be having meetings with us maybe once a week for several weeks. That's what the idea is of so far. I also participated on several events via Zoom or virtually. I participated on some speeches or events from the National Convention of the ACB and the NFB, the BLAST conference that was in June, and also with the Executive Committee of the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. I'm also in a subcommittee for the NCSAB, and as part of that subcommittee, I work on, well, with the committee, on drafting recommendations for requesting RSA new flexibilities for pre-EDs. One of the main focus there is we keep asking to see if they will allow state agencies to count college tuition for to be charged into pre-EDs, because that's a big expenditure. CAT work on the draft for the biennium request. I work on the narrative for that part. We are not asking for any extra money or increase other than the cost of living. But what we are going to be asking is to see the possibility to combine the $40,000 independent living that we got back in 2016, because the federal government stop sending that money to us, to combine that with the senior blind funds that we got last year, with the understanding that still most of the money, at least 90%, will go towards senior blind. This will help, because the $40,000 is very limited, and when we start working with, especially with little kids, $40,000 goes away very, very quickly, just on meeting with teachers and parents when we have staff members across the state. And then by the end of the year, we don't have money for, let's say, PI. Or if we use the money for PI, then we cannot use it to meet with the parents and teachers throughout the year. Like I said, $40,000 doesn't take you too far away. But if we do combine those two, because we could use realignment or social security reimbursement for older blind, we could still use that for older blind and then be more flexible for the little kids training. SCAT is also continuing to work on redesigning the, I call it coding for the business office, to make it simpler, easier, accountable to everybody. But what I noticed, or I'm sure Kat noticed it before I did, is when we need to get some information, it's not easy to get it because it's all over. Same thing happens from state accounting, or when RSA want to ask for something, it takes us too long to get information because of the different coding. So she continues to work on that. The state accounting audit was also done, and they didn't find any major issues, and that's thanks to the great job that the business office did, and the field counselors and staff provided the right documentation. Kathy Stevens, just in case, you know, they are working a lot of other areas. This is just a summary of what they did, okay? Mm-hmm. Kathy Stevens also worked on the year-end inventory for all equipment, and she started to work on with TBS, Transportation Services Bureau, I think it's called, right, Kathy?
Yes.
Okay. On getting GPS for all our state cars. That's something that the state wanted to do, I think. Initiative from the governor. So we don't have to be sending the car logs to them. It will save us a lot of time and also the state time. And Kathy mentioned now you cannot go over the speed limit with state car, so that's why maybe Jim could have come here faster. So we are going to still do some tracking just for internal purposes. Okay, now I'm going to jump into some statistics, clients' numbers. By the end of this quarter, we serve under the OID, the other individuals who are blind, 369 individuals, those under 55 for IEL, 70 individuals, and for the vocational rehabilitation program, 448 individuals. I just want to note that gradually we are having more senior blind clients, which is expected because of the grant that we got, okay? It's not going that fast due to COVID-19, and we still have some new staff on training, but I expect this will continue to grow. Some jobs that our clients got up to the end of this quarter is a variety. I'm going to mention some of them. Building post clerk, building cleaner worker, computer network support specialist, machine operator, dishwasher, farmer, fine artist, financial manager, healthcare worker or social worker, massage therapist, media communicator worker, packer or packager, personal care aide, Randolph Shepherd operator, registered nurse, rehab counselor, special ed teacher or kindergarten or elementary school teacher, and statistical assistant. Now, in the human resources area, as I reported last meeting, we have 5 new staff members. They were supposed to finish their training by now, but because of COVID-19, we changed some of that, and they are still at the center. We do have a new person who was hired. Her name is Lori Champion. She's working on the front desk part-time basis. We still have 2 positions vacant, but because of the state hiring freeze, we are not going to be hiring until that's lifted. Those are the positions that Adrian vacated, and also the VR position that Eric Backwater vacated in Lincoln. Out of those 5 folks who are on training, 2 are actually finishing today, and the other 3 will finish their training in the next few weeks. In the training area, all staff members in different areas got some training on teamwork, working or placing people with multiple disabilities, diabetic, alternative, deaf-blind training, and business enterprises. They also attended the consumer conventions via Zoom and the BLAS conference. all staff members were given the opportunity to either work from home or come to their offices after we evaluated the situation. And we have a combination of those two. Some decided to still telework. Some are coming to their offices, and some are doing both. For those who are coming to the offices, we are following the CDC guidance, which is very much wearing masks when you are around other people and so forth. On the field services, we continue to provide services to individuals on the teleserve. I'm calling it teleservice for this purpose. In some situations when we need to provide services one-to-one, all the safety precautions are being taken. Some of them are senior blind. We are providing equipment training. For some new clients, we are buying equipment without having to necessarily go to the places and have them being cheap. And then for transition clients, we are providing equipment and training, especially during the summer, because they participated on several transition events, both with us, but also with different consumer organizations. So they are able to have access to all of that information. I'm also to start getting ready to go back to school, both the public schools and college. The Lincoln District partnered with the General Dog Rehab in a virtual job fair. So clients were exposed to different employers. We are contracting with a company, and I'm sorry, I forgot the name, but I know the name of the guy. His name is Aileen Rivera, David Dimateris. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be helping us with a virtual college workshop, which will take place the end of August. We also did some training with blind and socially savvy. The Power Hour, which is for pre-ed students, and they address issues on the importance of the independent living skills, not taking devices, self-advocacy, networking, and social skills. But more than that, the students appreciate the fact to be connected. We also had a PI virtual training. The material was mailed to them in advance so they could work from home. And I want to give kudos to all our staff members who were innovative in these difficult times. And the response from the clients, they did respond very, very nicely. I'm going to jump into the center training. Before COVID-19, we have 9 clients and 5 staff trainees. We didn't accept new clients, so we still have 4 clients. 2 of them are VR clients, and 2 of them are senior blind. They are getting training still via Zoom. And they are preparing all the meals in their apartments. And because of the training via Zoom, they are being exposed to nationwide recognized speakers who are blind role models, successful blind people. So that's the good part about it. Because of COVID-19, again, we are not providing the 3-day stay or tours. Then on the MBE area, Carol finalized, I'm sorry about that, this mask is making me cough a little, yeah. finalized working with the State Building Division contract. That covers most of the buildings. It's a very large contract. We started this maybe 3 years ago, and Carol was just a champion, pushing it very hard. Carol also finalized working with the Department of Transportation to lower the rate for utilities, because they will basically charging us also for rent. And again, we tried to do this for several years, and Carol was able to persist and got the right team there. And the new rate is $35 per location. It used to be $35 per machine. Oh, wow. It's a big, big difference.
Sure.
That our vendor will be saving money. The Veterans Administration, no, the Veterans Affair, I used to call it Veterans Administration. The VA new building or clinic in Omaha, we were supposed to start tomorrow, and when we got everything ready there, we were told that because of COVID-19, they had to move things back. So we are ahead of the game there. We're just going to be waiting for them. It's kind of frustrating, but that's how things are these days. With the Stratcom cafeteria, it was formed back in May. We are going to start, or we started with 50% of the staff members from Stratcom coming, but because of COVID-19 restrictions, only half of them very much came to the building at a time, and the other half came later. So very much 25% were coming at a time. Now they are gradually coming more and more, but still because of COVID-19 restrictions, they are limiting seating only for 50% of the tables. And even with that, people are not taking the risk, which, you know, I don't blame them. And the sales went down to back in February and March before COVID-19, it was an average of 6,500 per day. Now it's only 2,000 per day.
Yeah,
it's that's all over though. It's all over the world, actually, not only the nation. So we are supporting as that in the beginning when we had to reopen. We couldn't rehire, all right? I mean, the subcontractor couldn't rehire the folks right away because many of them, they prefer to be on unemployment. And then when we tried to hire new people, the security procedure was very tedious and long. So the Omaha district supported as well as the MBE team, and they took turns to go and help with the cafeteria when they needed. Just to end with the business enterprises, we are also getting credit card readers because more and more people use their credit card rather than cash. And especially with COVID-19, they don't want to keep touching money.
Okay.
So we do have some extra funds, and we are taking advantage of that. And that's the report. Just my final remarks is I guess to thank Carol, Kat, Kathy, all the supervisors and staff for their flexibility. And we will continue doing our job that we are passionate about serving the blind of Nebraska. And with that, I would welcome any questions or anything you need to clarify.
Carlos, you had read an impressive number of new jobs that were placed. Was that for the last quarter, or is that like the last several quarters?
That's since October.
Since October, okay.
Yeah, each time I provide those statistics, they are since October of the previous year.
Have you found with the virus, is that making placement a lot more difficult?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those statistics would be even better. Are you finding it has that changed in the last week or two as the economy's opened up, or now it sounds like the economy is going to close again? So, are you finding any surge in hiring right now with the blind?
For me, it's hard to know in the last week But I think Carol has a better pulse of that because she's the field deputy director for all programs. Do you have anything to mention on that?
The answer, no.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was afraid of. Yeah.
And of course, that's going to affect Social Security
yeah.
dollars later. And,
yeah. What we are going to do, though, because we might not be able to face clients, but we are going to continue working to sharpen their skills.
Mm-hmm.
Keep working with employers because the economy will improve, and when that comes, we need to be ready.
Good, yeah. That's
so that's what we're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, they should be better prepared then.
That's
good. How's the MBE, the new equipment and the coin readers? Is that going okay?
I would. Carol, answer that too.
Installations are happening as we speak. This newest round we hope to be done by the end of August.
Okay.
But it's been a little challenging because a lot of the manufacturers we get the machines from closed down because of COVID.
Sure.
So I'm going to cross my fingers and hope all the machines come in. They've been ordered. We're kind of waiting on the manufacturers for some of them. So we're going to install what we can and then, just do the best that we can. But some of it's not in our control.
I understand.
Yeah.
Now the old machines, do those go back to the state, or how do we handle?
Depending on how old they are and what's been wrong with them, we go through state surplus to either surplus them or take them to alter scrap.
Okay. Who gets those proceeds in? If you get like the alter scrap,
we do.
Do we do? Okay. Yeah. Good.
It's not a lot.
No, I'm sure.
Either surplus or from scrap, but
sure.
Yeah, it's something.
And have we added any machines, or is this strictly replacement?
It's been strictly replacement. The Omaha VA was the only site. We signed that permit 2 years ago, so that's the only site that we've added machines.
Okay, great.
I mean, since the corrections project.
All right. Any commissioners, any questions?
just one. Carlos, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this already, but I just want to make sure. I know that when it comes to various services that we give to young individuals, it's been hard to have anything that requires them to be close together. So I'm guessing that means that we probably did not have the wages program this year, or did we have it in some fashion? Or?
No, we didn't. What we have was the our virtual training.
Okay.
Yeah. Have we tried anything in the field program?
No, so it was
just
the weekly power hours. There was a work at power hour and then like a self advocacy, social skills power hour throughout the week. And that was all of June and all of July. So it just ended yesterday, but a lot of those kids are going to be on the celebration Zoom this afternoon. So yeah, but then we're looking forward to maybe doing like virtual job shadows and virtual job club, and so switching gears and doing something different.
Good.
It's curious how that virtual job shadow thing is going to work out. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
A lot of description going on, I bet.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoy hearing how proactive the commission is being, and
that's
being
a great staff and good leadership.
Keeping a step ahead. It's just wonderful to hear.
Talking about being ahead, one of the things that I didn't report, but it was the previous meeting report is the accessible equipment that we purchased for chemistry. Paulo's training was postponed. He was supposed to come in July, but because of COVID-19, we don't know yet, but that's pending, okay?
Chemistry.
Yeah. So as soon as that's available, we plan at least I plan to talk to the university to see if we can get some chemistry professors there and be part of the training, so they know what's available.
Sweet. Thank you.
Carlos, would you consider having people Zoom in from the other universities across the state, like UNO and UNK, if you have some of the chemistry instructors take part?
I think so. In fact, now that you work in there, I will forward information.
And I was thinking about, you were talking about your partnership with UNL as well as other people for the access technology.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason why it's specifically UNL and not UNO and UNK that are participating in that with you?
I think it's just distance, but in
mm-hmm.
general, my understanding is that the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, they already have a policy that came from the technology class
okay.
that applies to all the university system.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. So, we're just working with the folks who drafted that policy, and we are going to bring it to the rest of the state.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
So, they are ahead, in fact, yeah.
Okay.
There was a lady named Christy Horn. I don't know if you heard her name. She was very well known in the disability community, especially at the university, because she was the head of ADA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she left before she passed away
okay.
a couple of years ago, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Carlos and Chris, I just really feel you're really doing a great job, you know, and all of your staff. And of course, just earlier this week on Tuesday, we had our Friends of the Commission meetings. I had a chance to interact with Carlos some then. And when we talk about what the commissioners have been up to, I'll give you a little bit of what we decided to do and just where we're at in terms of the Friends looking for grants. So that's just one area that Carlos really helped us get refocus because of just financial things are a little bit different than when we started this grant process. So anyway, so nice to be in the room with you today live there, Mr. Brown.
thanks for saying that too. The Friends, they are working on getting some money for the commission. Barbara Loss is there too. Originally, the intent was to get extra money for wages, but because of the new flexibility for periods, we can cover that now, so that we don't need that money there. Then the next project was going to be for PI, but it's going to be more for technology and,
mm-hmm.
and getting involved with more consumers and consumer organizations.
Very
yeah.
good. You're doing good. I won't have to say anything when it comes time to tell them what I've been doing. So go ahead.
No, that's all.
Okay.
But I
got more questions.
The
money is always important. I appreciate the report that Kat sends out every month. It looks like we're on target to have, we're spending money. And looks like we're going to have a nice little carryover. Now, we do have different pockets of money. Are we spending enough money on older blind? How are we looking at the transition? And are we going to be okay? Or I know we can't. It's got to be difficult right now with transition funding to spend enough money to hit that 15% mark. Are we going to hit that mark, or are you getting any guidance from the RSA on that?
In general, I think we are going to be okay, but we need to do a lot of work. And I shouldn't say it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Let me start with the older blind. Kat already talked to our liaison from the unicameral, the budget analyst. And because we just got the funds last year and also COVID-19, they have no problem with letting us carry over some money.
Okay.
However, we were doing a good job already, so we are not carrying over as much as we thought, right?
Yes.
It's way less. So the unicameral liaison is even more positive with that result. About pre-ed, yeah, we will have some problem spending all that money. Only with that cut, I think you mentioned we didn't spend that much.
Right.
Again, has to deal with all the summer programs that we usually spend on. But we understand that RSA will give us a break on that.
Okay.
But also consumers are working, especially NCSAB, which is, like I mentioned earlier, the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, with Dr. Schroeder, who is our consultant. He's working with Congress to include some language on the new COVID-19 laws break to allow the Department of Education to let us carry over that money. My understanding is that it's included in the Senate version.
When you say carry over, is that carry over a larger percentage of total dollars than we historically been able to do? Or is there still that cap on how much we can carry over altogether? Do you know, Kat? Or?
For pre-ed, and Kat, you're welcome to interrupt, but for pre-ed, it's a little separate.
Okay.
But yes, they're going to allow us to carry over maybe an extra year, but I'm not sure yet. And for the rest, I think we're going to be okay for the rest. We don't need to worry about that. Do you want to add something to that, Kat?
Our federal fiscal year 2019 grants are scheduled to be spent or expire at 9/30/2020.
Okay.
And so they're looking at the possibility of allowing us to carry forward those funds. Now we're working very hard to spend those funds so that in case that doesn't pass. And so that's why we've spent about $1 million on vending machines
mm-hmm.
this year.
Yeah,
that's a really good way to spend a lot of money in a hurry.
Well, I like to use the word invest. How about we use the word invest?
Yes, we're also replacing old technology for staff, as well as buying a lot more technology than we
mm-hmm.
previously have for consumers.
Yes.
So because we have the funds, we're addressing needs for any of our clients that need something. For pre-eds, we're in pretty good shape. Now, wages is a very expensive program, and it didn't happen this year.
Right.
So we don't have the lodging, we don't have the meals, the transportation, all of that. We are still paying the kids for attending the Power Hour meetings
that
Carol
good.
Talked about.
A little
so they're still getting their $9 an hour.
That's good.
But it's only for a couple of hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to carry over a lot more pre-eds money than we normally do, but it's 2020 money that we're spending, so it will carry over for another year, and we can do bigger and better things with it next year.
Well, very good. As far as budgeting, I think strategically it's wise not to ask for a lot of additional money, given what's going on. Are you getting any kind of read from the governor or the appropriations people? Are they asking us to prepare any budget cuts, or are they giving